Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q3 FY24 earnings conference call of Gland Pharma Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ankit Gupta. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Sagar. Good evening, everyone. We welcome you to Gland Pharma earnings conference call for Q3 FY24. My name is Ankit, and I drive the investment, M&A, and corporate strategy for Gland. I have Mr. Srinivas Sadu, MD and CEO, and Mr. Ravi Mitra, CFO, to discuss business performance and financial highlights for the quarter. We will begin this call with the business highlights by Mr. Sadu, followed by a financial overview by Mr. Ravi. Before we proceed, please note the safe harbor statement that we have on the press release. Some of the statements that we make today will be forward-looking and will be based on the current estimates that management has. These statements must be viewed in conjunction with the risks that are involved in our business. The call is being recorded, and the playback will be made available on our website shortly. We will also have the transcript in a week's time. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Sadu for his opening remarks. Thank you. Over to you, Mr. Sadu.
Thank you, Ankit. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Gland's Q3 FY24 earnings call. I extend my well wishes for your family's health, happiness, and prosperity. May all of you witness a continued upturn in 2024, and we look forward to a prosperous year ahead. As in previous quarters, we intend to provide a comprehensive update on the standalone performance of Gland and the group's overall performance, including financial data from Cenexi, the CDMO we acquired in Europe. We have maintained our momentum with robust revenue growth in the third quarter. We reported revenues of rupees 15,452 million for Q3 FY24, an increase of 13% quarter-on-quarter and 65% year-on-year compared to rupees 13,734 million in Q2 FY24 and rupees 9,383 million in Q3 FY23. The quarter-over-quarter growth has been propelled by our consistent performance, increased volumes shipped in a stable pricing environment, and the introduction of new products. Furthermore, we recorded the complete quarter sales of Cenexi. The core market generated 77% of revenue, a year-over-year increase from 71% in Q3 FY23. The company's largest market, the United States, witnessed a 12% quarter-over-quarter and 41% year-over-year growth. The company introduced or reintroduced nine molecules in these markets during the quarter. We witnessed robust volume momentum for key new products, including levothyroxine, ropivacaine, ketamine, octreotide, and zinc sulfate. The pricing for the products we shipped during the quarter remained relatively stable, and we saw increased demand for several of our previously launched products. The performance in the ex-US primary markets remained consistent. Despite the longer approval process, we continue to identify products from our US basket that have the potential to enter these regions, specifically in Australia and Europe. The rest of the world markets contributed 18% of our revenue in Q3 FY24, compared to 21% in Q3 FY23. These markets reported a 7% quarter-on-quarter increase, largely attributable to Cenexi volumes. The Indian market contributed 5% of our revenue in Q3 FY24 and experienced a 7% decrease compared to the corresponding period in the previous fiscal year. While building the other markets, we remain focused on strategically important products in India and will explore avenues for value creation. Our manufacturing sites remain operational with efficiencies, and we are committed to delivering high-quality products at scale with competitive costs and all-time compliance. We are conducting a facility upgrade activity in one of the lyophilization lines at our Dundigal flagship facility in Hyderabad. Consequently, this lyophilization line will remain non-operational for 2 weeks in March. There will be a temporary supply disruption from this line. However, all the facilities' other lines will remain operational. On the R&D front, total R&D expenses for Q3 FY24 were rupees 530 million, or 5% of operating revenue. We filed 10 ANDAs during the quarter and received approval for 3 ANDAs. As of December 31, 2023, Gland and its partners filed 346 ANDAs in the United States, of which 279 were approved and 67 pending approval. The company has 1659 product registrations worldwide. Discussing consolidated profitability and EBITDA margin, we reported an absolute EBITDA of rupees 3,557 million and a net profit of rupees 1,919 million for Q3 FY24. This quarter, EBITDA margins remained similar at 23%, primarily impacted by negative EBITDA margins at Cenexi. For Q3 FY24, Cenexi reported a revenue of rupees 4,430 million with a gross contribution of 75% and a negative EBITDA of rupees 170 million. However, the business achieved EBITDA breakeven on an adjusted basis, excluding some one-time expenses. An organizational restructuring exercise and changes to the pension provisions resulted in an effect of around 2 million euros in the quarter ended December 23. In addition, lower productivity led to reduced overhead absorption in inventory, resulting in lower EBITDA during the quarter. Our post-merger integration review is now mostly complete, and we identified areas where Cenexi would need investments, improvements, and leadership recruitment across critical functions. Regarding the company's business, we have reasonable confidence in Cenexi's current clientele and the partners' commitment for the long term. As for expansion, we have a solid order book of new programs that have been signed and are currently in various stages of tech transfer and approval. With these programs, we anticipate a medium-term incremental increase of 30 to 40 million euros on our existing annual revenue base. Despite our investment in capabilities to support this expansion, we continue to face issues with operational performance and the timely execution of existing orders. These operational issues are causing delays in supplies and augmenting a backlog of orders. This issue has mostly affected our quarterly performance, leading us to rebalance our capacity and shift certain products to different lines, which will take time due to regulatory processes. In addition, we'll invest in building new high-speed lines to replace the existing ones, automating processes to make them more efficient, and ensuring compliance. Cenexi plans to realize its acquisition thesis over the next 12 to 15 months. We're confident that we'll end the fiscal year 24 on a positive note and continue to be excited about the opportunities ahead of us. I now hand over the call to our CFO, Mr. Ravi Mitra, who will share more insights about our financial performance for the quarter. Thank you very much. Over to you, Mr. Mitra.
Thank you, Mr. Sadhu. Good evening, everyone. Thank you very much for attending our third quarter earnings call. Let me begin by sharing the financial performance of the third quarter and 9 months of the financial year 2023-24. Revenue from operations increased by 65% year to rupees 15,452 million in Q3 FY24. The consolidation of the Cenexi business acquired during the current financial year contributed significantly to the year-over-year expansion of revenue, increasing our footprint in Europe. The revenue from operations for the 9 months of FY24 stood at rupees 41,273 million, a year-on-year increase of 45%. Our base business, which is ex-Cenexi, also grew 17% in this quarter over previous year and 9% over Q2 FY24, driven by our increased performance in US market. Other income for the third quarter of FY24 was rupees 374 million, which largely includes interest on fixed deposit and is lower than Q3 FY23, which was 615 million on account of lower interest income and forex gain. For 9 months FY24, the other income was rupees 1,281 million, of which interest on fixed deposit was rupees 1,063 million, and foreign exchange gains on operations were rupees 154 million. The gross margin for Q3 FY24 was 61%, an improvement from 54% in Q3 FY23 due to Cenexi's high gross margin. On the positive side, our base business has also witnessed an improvement in the gross margin over the last year due to product mix. We have reported an EBITDA of rupees 3,557 million in Q3 FY24 compared to rupees 2,896 million, an increase of 23% compared to last financial year. The EBITDA margin of Q3 FY24 stood at 23% compared to 31% for the previous financial year. For the base business, ex-Cenexi, we have reported the EBITDA margin for Q3 FY24 at 34%, up from 31% in the same period of the previous year. We, however, reported a negative 170 million of EBITDA at Cenexi, primarily due to certain one-time expenses. On our base business operation, we managed to rationalize the power cost and manpower expenses during this quarter as compared to the same period of previous year. The EBITDA for the 9 months ended December 2023 was ₹9,744 million compared to ₹8,563 million for the same period last year, an increase of 14%. We have reported the EBITDA margin for 9 months in FY24 at 24% for the group and 33% for the base business. During the quarter, we finalized the purchase price allocation exercise of Cenexi acquisition. The additional impact on depreciation and amortization on account of fair valuation of net assets for purchase price allocation amounted to ₹294 million and ₹377 million for the quarter and 9 months ended December 31st, 2023, respectively. On a go-forward basis, Cenexi would report a depreciation and amortization of approximately ₹90 to ₹140 million per quarter on account of purchase price allocation. Our net profit for the third quarter decreased by 17%, stood at ₹1,919 million compared to Q3 FY23 and decreased by 1% to the previous quarter of the current financial year due to the reasons mentioned earlier. During the quarter, we recorded a PAT margin of 12%. During the 9 months of the current financial year, our PAT was ₹5,800 million at a 14% margin. The total R&D expenses for the third quarter were ₹530 million compared to ₹512 million for the same period of the previous financial year and stood at 5% of the revenue from operations on an ex-Cenexi basis. The total R&D expense for the 9 months were ₹1,337 million, which is 4% of our revenue. On a standalone basis, our effective tax rate was 25.5% in the third quarter and 25.8% for the 9 months of the current financial year. As of December 31st, 2023, on a group level, we had a total of ₹24,795 million in cash and equivalents, an increase of ₹2,168 million over the previous quarter of September 30th, 2023. Due to loans on Cenexi's books to the tune of ₹4,058 million as of December 31st, our net cash position was ₹20,704 million. Cash flow from operations during the 9 months was ₹6,228 million. Working capital was reduced and stood at ₹22,805 million as of December 31, 2023, as compared to ₹24,010 million as of March 31, 2023, due to decrease in inventory levels. The average cash conversion cycle improved and stood at 182 days for the 9 months ending December 2023, as compared to 240 days of the same period last financial year. CapEx spend during the quarter is ₹810 million. At Cenexi, the plan of new high-speed ampoule line and new equipments for enhancing our capacity and operational efficiencies is progressing well. With this, I would request that the moderator open the lines for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Shyam Srinivasan from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening and thank you for taking my question. Just the first one is on the US market and the sustainability of the revenue run rate, right? So we have done about 8.2 billion for the quarter. So just want to understand what's driving that. I think your commentary talks about stable pricing environment. So is it largely driven by volumes and are we in a position to sustain this quarterly run rate?
Yeah, the market looks actually positive. The growth came from volumes by 8% and another 3% came from the new launches. But also Inox came back and we are seeing an uptick of volumes. We are looking at a forecast of 19 million. I think last call we said about 16, 17 million. I think we are seeing a higher demand from that market. Like I said, you know, we are a little aggressive on the pricing. Also, the material price have gone down. So we have revised the pricing and to go after the business. And also the several molecules where you might have seen oncology products got launched, which are higher value. So the momentum looks positive in terms of the US business.
So Mr. Sadhu, are you any kind of a guidance for how we should look at Q4 at this point of time? Or do we think we can sustain this over 8 billion odd number?
The growth, steady growth will, you know, at least in the near term, we are seeing steady growth will continue.
And can you break down the 15% QOQ growth for the quarter as 8 of volume and 3 of new products, right? So that still leaves another 3 percentage points, which would be the enoxaparin. Is that how you're breaking it down?
That's, you know, we also have the other income, right? Milestone and the profit share portion of it.
If you could quantify that, please, sorry. Yeah.
I think the rest, 3% comes from those two components. I don't have a breakup of these two, but that comes from there.
Okay, understood. Just the second question is on Cenexi, and I'll pause after that. Is on, you know, we have looked at this asset for close to, you know, at least coming to a year now. And, you know, there is some restructuring that we have done. You're talking about additional investments. When we made this acquisition last year, it was a 10% EBITDA margin business. This quarter, even if I add back the 2 million euros, that's an EBITDA break-even. So what's the long-term outlook here? You know, you made changes to the purchase price as well. So if you can, from a consideration perspective, obviously. But just want to understand the long-term outlook for Cenexi. Do we have the ability to take it back up to historical margins or something has changed there cyclically? Thank you.
No, the thesis is still holds good. It's just the timing. If you see, one is, of course, the one-off expenses we incur in the quarter, which will make it break-even. And we also have a lower productivity. That's where we're talking about operational efficiency would increase. Low productivity impacted the end of the quarter inventory. It's a 75% margin asset. Any inventory, lowering of inventory actually is impacting big time. So the downfall is impacted around 3 million because of the lower inventory compared to the previous quarter inventory.
Yeah, sorry, what was your question on the purchase price?
No, I said we have made an adjustment. We have got the right numbers, right? I believe so far we have made an estimate. This is the right number for, because the DNA has changed, right? So I just want to understand from a long-term outlook, where are the margins likely to settle for Cenexi?
So one is, of course, the current business, you know, at least we're looking at 10%, like I said last time, you know, we're still looking at 10% in the midterm. And then we have projects which are getting tech transferred that will add revenue of 30, 40 million. Most of it should, you know, trickle down to the EBITDA level because we see a break-even point for this asset around 190 million, 190, 200 million. Anything above that should, you know, positively impact the profitability.
Got it. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neha Manpuria from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. So again, on the Cenexi piece, the revenue rate, we're obviously making much better
than...
Sorry
to interrupt. Ms. Manpuria, your line was cracking in between. So could you please repeat the question once again?
Is it better?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that. So I said on the next day, you know, if I were to look at the revenue run rate, obviously it's doing much better than, you know, even part of the quarter that was there. Gross margins also aren't that different. I didn't quite understand the lower productivity comment because your revenue does not seem to be showing lower productivity or lower volumes. So, you know, even adjusted for one-off, why did we just break even? I would have assumed that, you know, we would have gone back to the usual margins here. So what I didn't quite understand your comment.
Okay, so top line number, yes, you're right. It has improved in this quarter. But the production has not to the tune of what we had expected. So while there was inventory which was sold out and this was sufficient to our expectation, production was lower, which has led to lower absorption of overheads in inventory. Mm-hmm. And there were certain one-offs like related to employee and management restructuring, which has impacted one time. So okay. That is the reason why this is a bit 170 million negative this quarter.
And Sadhusar, you also mentioned something about, you know, operational issues in executing order leading to, you know, delay in sort of realizing revenue. Does this mean the 30 to 50 million incremental revenue that you talked about could come in much later? I mean, when should we start assuming this, you know, incremental revenue flowing through? And what did you mean by operational issue? Is this the same thing that you're talking about, that there was lower production?
Yeah, so the 30, 40 million, you know, you see only in the FY26 next year. What I'm saying, operational efficiency is with the current, one of the facilities are, I would say, you know, capacity-wise, it's chock-a-block. And we're not able to deliver because of the poor OTIFs. You know, the lines are old and we want to change those lines. Unless we substitute with the fast line, it's very difficult to get to those numbers what we talked about. And for that, we need to sometime, you know, maybe next few months, we take a call of taking a shutdown and then implementing this, because long term, this is what we want to do. That's why we said it's a near term pain, but the business is very strong. You know, the order book is very strong and the transfer projects what they're handling are very strong. So it's just the timing and how to streamline the operations is a challenge in the near term, because any movement of products from one line to another requires some regulatory approvals. And that's what we're doing now. You know, we're moving some products from one side to other, one line to another. And, you know, getting approval to commercialize those will take some time. So, you know, there's a near-term pain in that regard.
Okay, got it. And my second question is, you know, on the ROW business in the standalone piece, that seems to be coming off quarter after quarter. Is there some slowdown that we're seeing in particular market, or is it inability to gain volume? What's going on in the ROW and when should we start seeing that market go back into growth mode?
There are some positives actually from, you will see from April quarter, we did the tender in Saudi for 15 products. The estimated sales for that is around 50-55 million per annum. The previous year, Saudi were clocking around 25 odd million dollar sales, so that is almost 15 products we won tender for. So that's a good uptick. Then in South Africa, we got approvals for 4 products and launching 3 products. That will add about a few million dollars. So there are some policies coming off. And also, other thing is the debate what we had, the Saudi entered in the last quarter. So the tapering of sales happened. The current quarter also there are limited sales in Saudi, but the next bid which we have won, the supplies will start from March, April. So again, the business will go back ROW once you start supplying to that. So it's mostly the timing perspective, I would say.
Understood. And one last question, the LIFO line shutdown, what kind of revenue impact can we see from the 2 week shutdown that you're talking about?
25, it will not be substantial because it's happening in March and it's only 2 weeks of flyover, so it shouldn't be substantial. But as just as you know, because we being asked last time that we should inform, so as a the prudence have informed that.
Good. Okay, got it, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, if you wish to ask questions, you may press star and one on your touchtone phone. The next question is from the line of Amay Chalke from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for giving me an opportunity. So I have a couple of questions. First is, we are a CRAMS company, so that we have been saying that we will, as a source of the products, we typically supply to multiple clients. But I have not seen a client addition happening in some of our key products. So if you can highlight on the same, are there any major client additions on the top 10 products which could either have already taken place over last one and a half year, and how it will pan out over next 1 year?
There are only certain limited clients who in-license products, right? And you know, we are supplying products to most of the top injectable front-end companies. And this part of a business where, you know, some of the clients, if they don't meet the market share requirements, it gets transferred to another customer if they're really in need of it, because most of them might have already have this product. So it's an ongoing process. We did onboard a couple of new customers as well. But again, there are only so many front-end customers who can license products.
Sure. So there is another question related to this. There are a lot of shortages. If you see the US FDA shortage list, there are at least 2-3 products, oncology products, we are already there in those products, like 6 platins or a couple of platins which are there. Then there are 2 large products from our top 10 list, like heparin and ketorolac. So have we already benefited from these products? Is it there in the numbers, US numbers, or you expect going ahead, there could be a volume ramp-up which would happen in these products? Or is there any chance of client addition in these kind of products where there is a shortage, where we have the capacity but the another competitor may not be having it?
So, I mean, to be product-specific, like Ketorolac, you know, it's always been under shortage. So, we've been having a larger market share for this product for a long time. For cisplatin, carboplatin, we launched 2 quarters ago. And we have, for carbo at least, we have 55% of market share, and so we have a consistent supply for that. So on an annual basis, I think the sales have, I would say, started from last 2 quarters, so it will be increased on the, if you look at an annual basis. But we already start supplying, and I think most of the shortages are going on, at least for these products, once we have started supplying 2 quarters ago.
So you see any benefits coming in because of shortages in the coming year, or you think it is already in the numbers?
Well, it's always, right? I mean, if last 10-15 years, if you see, always there's some products which are always coming out, coming in the shortage list because of regulatory issues. So that's part of the injectable business, and that's why so much importance and quality of sites is important, and we pay so much attention to.
Sure. The last question on the Cenexi. We acquired this asset also to the kind of technical capability it had. So is there any synergy we can generate for the U.S. business from this unit?
Yeah, there's several, especially the oncology pre-filled syringe what they have. We're already working on some one of the products. Our R&D is trying to collaborate with that asset where we didn't have earlier. So yes, we are working with them, but you know, we have other issues to resolve first before putting more burden on that asset. So that streamlining is happening. In parallel, some development has started working with the clients as well in terms of business. The clientele of Cenexi are in discussion with us to take more products from us for other markets as well.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chintan Sheth from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Hope I'm audible. Couple of questions again on Cenexi. If you elaborated that inventory related, you know, issue resulted into you know, losses over there, apart from the one-off part. But if you look at the gross margin profile, sequentially it has just contracted only 200 basis points from 77 to 75. Does that actually translate into such large under absorption of profits or under absorption of cost?
Yeah, so what happens is that because it's a high margin product, and largely the overheads, which is expenses and salary and power, etc., is loaded. So that is coming in the individual line item below gross margin, but not loaded on inventory. So that is what has happened.
Okay.
And if the production would have been higher in line with what the sale has happened, and which will the next few quarters it will come back. So then with the higher production, you have more overhead expenses, which is, you know, transfer from expense to inventory.
Okay, but the production loss of this quarter will also have some impact or element of, you know, reduced revenue in upcoming quarter in 4Q. That will be the right assessment. The pain will continue for another quarter, seems so.
It all depends on how, you know, how soon can we make it more efficient to produce more. And
it won't happen
yeah,
in the quarter,
so,
right?
Correct. So the pain will continue, but you know, how much we can reduce, that's what we have to see. At least the one-off items will be gone, and maybe if you can increase certain inventory levels, then at least we will get into a positive EBITDA.
Okay, got it. And in the India business, obviously the revenue generator, US, you know, revenue is coming back pretty decently. And that is also helping us to improve our margin profile. You mentioned on the comment that the growth will sustain given the current outlook or what we are seeing right now. Does it also have an element, you know, to further improve our gross margin profile has, given the scale is coming back and we will have some operating leverage which we faced in the past year will start to recoup again once the scale up happens quicker than the previous quarter.
Correct. So once the volumes start increasing, you know, that's what we're seeing from last few quarters. So we started selling more units and absorption is more. So your margin is improving. So, you know, the idea is one is of how to reduce costs and how to improve profitability by making more volumes. You know, that's been the that's where we are putting more efforts on. With Cenexi, you know, the issue of revenue is not there. Now the whole focus is on how to reduce costs and be more competitive and also increase the margins.
And lastly, on the CapEx outlook for this year and next, especially for the Cenexi part, would be helpful.
Okay, so Cenexi, we are currently framing the CapEx plan for this year and next year. And overall, the allocation would be around 30 million euro, both for changing the equipment as well as increasing the capacity level. And for Gland Pharma, the usual the programs which we are running for increasing capacity like Suite 9 and Combiland and Pashmalaram, we are increasing backline. So all put together, we expect to spend about 300 crores in the next financial year.
Okay, I'll join back in. Thank you for the response.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Ankush from Axis Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, thanks to offer me opportunity, sir. So my question is regarding to the key products like Carolactic and this Enoxaparin. We are seeing the continuous fall in the prices. And the kind of, so what is the impact that we can see on the margin side due to the key products? Because excluding Cenex, the margins are quite good in this quarter for the business.
So the both the products, see, the not just the pricing, actually the material, the cost, the raw material costs gone down substantially. That's got translated into end market pricing. So that pricing got adjusted. So from margin perspective, there won't be impact. It's just that from top line, it has come down in terms of that. So that's not, there's no issue with that. And Ketrolac, it's been a consistent product with the same similar pricing for a long time for us.
Okay. So second one is related to the Synaxi. So in the first quarter, we have a 10% of the margins. Any outlook, sir, for the sustainable margin for the Synaxi?
So as we mentioned, that the near term would be some challenges in terms of EBITDA margin. And we expect to break even in next 12 to 15 months. After that, we will go back.
This is related to the last one, is related to the India business. India business is sustained. I mean, it's a stable business now. So the kind of growth we can look in the India business?
Sorry, could you repeat that?
The Indian business is almost stable if you see on Q1Q basis. So the kind of growth we can look in the India business in upcoming quarters?
So India, honestly, we are in the hospital sales and most of the products what we have are under TPCO. So it's not been a big focus market for us, unlike branded products, right? So, you know, we are selling which are, I would say, less competitive. But most of the injectables in India are under DPCO, so the focus is less, and the percentage of revenue and compared to the total turnover for us is smaller.
Thank you, sir. That's from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Also, thanks for taking my question. So two questions. One is, A, in the past, you used to talk about our plans to get into the biosimilars, biologics manufacturing. Any updates on how you're thinking about the space now after the vaccine opportunity didn't take off?
Still, we're actively pursuing that. It's not that it's out of the window. I mean, we signed one plasma project, and it's actively we are... started looking some revenue. We are estimating about 14-15 crores per year. This project's a 5-year contract. But there are also other biologics companies we are visiting. But as you know, the funding for a lot of small bios have slowed down. Because of that, it kind of slowed down, but we're still pursuing that space as well.
Okay. And so secondly, when you look at your business ex of Synaxi, there is obviously U.S. has come back pretty strongly over the last couple of quarters. Other segments seem to have their own set of struggles for now. When you, sir, take a 3-5 year view of your business, what is the steady rate at which this business can really grow at? Is it more like a mid-teen growth business, a late-teen growth business when things stabilize? Or what kind of growth characteristic would you sort of be comfortable looking at for a 3-5 year view of our ex-NXC business?
The good thing is a lot of complex products filings are happening, and while we have already filed 7, we have few approvals, we're going to file 4 more this year. So those product launches will happen. And we are also seeing increase in the CDMO space where a lot of companies are transferring products to us. So if you see the CMO revenue is also going up. So there's a shift in that. So overall basis, and also you have to consider the base at which you're operating now. So, of course, as a company, on a consolidated basis, we have to see. But at least ex-NXC basis, probably, metrics could be a target internally, but, we have to see, we're going slow on how we are devaluate because there are several options we're looking at. But that's what we're looking at least in the next 2 to 3 years.
And, sir, over this period when you talk about mid-teens target for, for the business, this would be what, again, driven by the U.S. or ROW, or what is this going to be equally, or equal, you see any particular geography as being the primary driver for this growth?
See, there's a lot of opportunity in ROW also, like you said. So that growth will come from there. U.S. complex generics are there. We have entered contracts with cartridges, pen products, so that will add some revenues. And also, we are looking at contract manufacturing from some of the big pharma as well. So it's a combination of these few things.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neha Manpuria from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Just a clarification on the Cenexi margins. Did I hear correctly that Cenexi would continue to be loss-making for the next year also, for fiscal 25, and the margin guidance that we had is only for FY 26?
Not at EBITDA level. I think Ravi was mentioning at the PAT level because of the depreciation and amortization. But EBITDA level will be positive.
Okay. So the 10% guidance that you gave for EBITDA, you know, is that number reasonable? I mean, is that margin reasonable to assume in FY25?
Yeah, I think FY25, that's reasonable, yes.
Got it. Okay. And Ravi, on the depreciation and amortization, in your opening remarks, you gave a number of 90 to 140 million. Seems like a very wide range. So this is the number that you would see in Cenexi for Cenexi as an incremental DNA? I mean, what's the DNA in a base that I should look at, you know, for the control business?
Yeah, so if you see Q2,
yeah,
consolidation was about 80 crores.
Okay.
Now, going forward, there would be around 10 crores addition to that, so 90 crores. Instead of this quarter, it is higher because we have made a catch-up depreciation here because PPA was finalized this quarter. But a going forward basis, there would be around 90 crores on a consolidated basis.
Okay, so 90 crore is the number I should look at. Understood. That's clear. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chintan Sheth from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Question got answered. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, if you wish to ask questions, you may press star and one now. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Ankit Gupta for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining us today. We appreciate your participation. If there are some questions which are still unanswered, you can reach out to us anytime and we'll be happy to address the same. Looking forward to connect with you the next quarter and also in case there are more questions. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Gland Pharma Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.